You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Any stadium as hour number 2 begins. This time tomorrow we'll be just turning into the second quarter as the Iron Bowl weekend has arrived in Tuscaloosa. A lot to do the remainder of this show. We've been here an hour, talked to Tebow and a couple of other people in the first hour. And we're going to take some more phone calls here. And Jay is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Jay.
How are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I hope it's a start to a joyous holiday season. Happy Hanukkah, however you and your family celebrate. But my question is this, and I don't look for this to happen at all, but, I mean, these are kids. Anything can happen. So what happens if Texas A&M somehow gets a win tomorrow against LSU, and then LSU turns around and beats Georgia? Does LSU get in as the SEC champion?
I would say no. I think they would be disqualified for having three losses. I don't think they could make that up unless there's always the caveat of total and absolute carnage. But I would say the likelihood of them getting in would be pretty slim.
Right, right. Okay, well, I enjoy your show, and I look forward to a good football weekend, and hope you have a joyous holiday season.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Tim is up next in Pennsylvania. Hello, Tim. Let me try Andrew next in Virginia. Hey, Andrew.
Oh, I think that the folks, the Crimson Tide fans, are ecstatic over what Nate Oates did last night. When you take down Tom Izzo in Michigan State, I mean, that's solid. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think in particular, the backstory is that Coach Oates has always been, one of the mentors of Nate Oates. Tom Izzo has always been one of the mentors of Nate, being in the high school coach in the Detroit area. So that's a big deal. I'm not trying to take anything away from the win, but this is even though Michigan State got off to a good start, this is not a vintage Michigan State team. But hey, thanks for the call. Let's try Howard next in Tennessee. Hello, Howard.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Great. I just have a question about the standings, sir. As you're aware, we did beat Alabama. We did beat LSU. And we played a total of 5 ranked teams this year, no matter if it was in the beginning, Kentucky was good, but now they're not so good, so they're not ranked very well. But at whatever certain time, we did defeat ranked teams, that being Alabama and LSU. And we're just trying to figure out how they are ranked above us right now. And even Oregon is above us when everybody claims, from what everybody says, that SEC is the stronger conference out there. How are we ranked lower even than Oregon?
Well, Michael, let me explain it for you. Hold on a second, because when you get blown out by a team like South Carolina, you're going to take a fall, and all other stuff calculates into the equation, but it doesn't wipe away the very last thing that the people on the committee saw. Mike is up next in Fort Worth. Hey, Mike.
How's it going, Paul? Yeah, I see you still harping on TCU. Hey, Paul, let me tell you where you're wrong on this. Now, if the way the standings are now, 2 and 3 play in the semifinal, which is probably going to be TCU and Ohio State if TCU wins out. TCU is not – I see you compare TCU a lot to Cincinnati. It's a different story. TCU is in a Power 5 conference. The competition level is tougher than Cincinnati was playing when they played Alabama. When they played Alabama, they were playing Power 5 or they were paying. They weren't.
Slow down just a second, Mike. Because first of all, you're entitled to, you know, be a fan of the Horned Frogs. But when you act like the Power Five matter, don't forget one thing. Last year, Cincinnati went to South Bend and beat Notre Dame. That's a pretty big Power Five matchup. So, giving me a bunch of top 25 wins in the Big 12. I watched the Baylor-Texas game today. I wasn't impressed by either team. And TCU, I hope they keep winning. I would really like to see the TCU fans get to deal with either an Ohio State or a Georgia. And I will make you a prediction. It won't be pretty, Mike. So enjoy your big matchup tomorrow with Iowa State or Iowa Junior College or whoever is on your schedule. And then you can play the resurgent Kansas State Wildcats next week. In the Big 12 championship game.
They've got a top three.
And then call me back later. Until then, flap your gums somewhere else. Thanks for the call. Scotty is up next. Go right ahead, Scotty. You're on the air.
Hey there, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Here. All right, listen here. Tell me if I'm thinking wrong. The coach, like Lane Kiffin, when he was at Tennessee, is that the one T. Martin quarterbacking? Kind of got Tennessee in a little bit of hot water. And then he run out west.
Hold on, slow down. T. Martin left after the 1998 season. Lane Kiffin was there in 2009.
Okay. But did Lane Kiffin kind of get Tennessee in a little bit of a hot water, then take off out west and get on one of California teams?
I'll try to answer your question, assuming you Lane Kiffin and Ed Orgeron were looked into by the NCAA. Orgeron was his chief recruiter. There were some allegations that had nothing to do with why Lane Kiffin left. He left because he was offered the Southern Cal job when Pete Carroll went to the NFL.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, all righty. And, I mean, I wish they'd stay with Cadillac, my boy, and get downtown Ronnie Brown down there with our running back coach. And, you know, just, you know, leave it like it is because, you know, we just need some good old Auburn boys, all we need. But always a pleasure, Paul. You the pillar of the community, wherever your butt's sitting, you are the SEC, baby.
Thank you very much. War Eagle. Thanks, Scotty. Butch is up next. Hey, Butch.
Hey. I have a question. What I was curious about was early on in the season for Alabama, something just seemed off. What game was it that you had a feeling that this wasn't going to be a year that Alabama was going to make the playoffs?
Oh, it didn't take long at all, Butch. It was the second game against Texas. You could see they had 15 penalties in the game. They made mistakes across the board, and as really things didn't change. Alabama bounced back a little bit, but then you had the Texas A&M game where they were miserable and needed a stop on a 2-yard play at the end of the game to survive. And then obviously the Tennessee game was the next week where 17 penalties convinced anyone who thought the Texas game was a fluke that it was not.
I almost felt that Alabama almost had a college free agency period where they got Ricks from LSU, they got Burton from Georgia. Of course, last year we got Toa Toa in the middle. If you compare last year's team, this team on paper looked like it was actually going to be better. You got the returning Heisman Trophy winner. Why in the world is this one of the least productive years for Nick Saban as far as coaching?
Yeah, and Butch, don't forget, Nick Saban said in the offseason, right before the season, that last year was a rebuilding year. And what he meant by that is a new starting quarterback. And other things. People here, where we are in Tuscaloosa, felt this was going to be one of Nick Saban's very best teams. And we are now at the 12th game, and we're still not certain what happened. And I know the Alabama fans can and will argue that two losses by 4 points. The contrarians can argue there were three other games. They came down to two, came down to the final play, and one, the Ole Miss game, came down to the final 45 seconds. So in those five encounters, Alabama is 3-2. in years past, they probably would have won all, but maybe one. You know, one or two other two things could have happened, and they could have lost all five. They have the best quarterback in the country, but the players did not materialize. And I think tomorrow is probably going to be the last time we see a lot of these players. There's all kinds of speculation of who will show up for the bowl game, wherever that is. And I don't know what that. I don't know what the answer to that is. But if Alabama doesn't find the 3% slim chance into the playoffs, then tomorrow could be it for a lot of these great players. Yeah. We will take a break. We are live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Jordan Rogers will join us right here next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back in our Gridiron guest brought to you by Johnsonville. Jordan Rogers joining us here. Jordan, thank you. Let me go back to last night.
All right.
Because there's still a lot of folks in the Magnolia State shaking their head about almost everything that happened. You've been high on Will Rogers and Mississippi State all year long. They've been underachieving at times. What did you make out of last night?
Well, I think the defense showed up the way that we thought they could. They were disruptive the entire night. I think the issue, the ups and downs of Mississippi State on offense this year, when I really look at it, last year Mekhi Polk was a 1,000-yard receiver. He was the go-to guy, big situations, big third downs in the red zone. That's where Will Rogers went. This year, they don't really have that guy, and they got five guys that are all within a few different receptions of each other. They balance spreading the football really easily, but at times you need a go-to guy. Jaden Wally made some big plays last night as well. Look, I think Will Rogers is special. I think we kind of slept on how good Mississippi State could be this year. And again, Leach is going to win one or two that's going to make you raise your eyebrows. And it's really been the consistency that lacked. And I think it's because not really having a number one, true number one for Mississippi State, but they showed up when they needed to. And look, that was a team that just wanted it more. I think right now Ole Miss was reeling from the last couple weeks. And at times, Mississippi State just looked like they wanted it a lot more, and they showed it.
Fans want to blame a lot of people, including the media, on distracting Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. I mean, they lost, what, four of the last five games? They beat A&M in that stretch. What did you see as they disintegrated?
I don't know if I see it just like that. And from a player standpoint, that absolutely can happen. I mean, there's a lot of outside noise. When you're a 18, 19, 20-year-old college kid, you're dealing with school, you're dealing with a girlfriend, you're dealing with family. I mean, there's a lot that you're dealing with as it is. So a shakeup within the facility can absolutely distract. But when I really go back to really the Arkansas game as well, they had over 700 yards of offense. It's not like they just didn't show up. Like, there were some bad penalties that I think should have gone their way that didn't early in that game. One of them resulted in a touchdown back. The turnovers early. That game wasn't – I didn't think they showed up. They got some bad breaks early, and Arkansas showed up to play. And last night as well, I just – they fought in that game. They did. So I don't see a team that, like, rolled over and completely gave up or was completely distracted. Obviously, that's a part of it. But I just think a couple breaks the last two games didn't go their way. A team that I think is still incredibly talented and that close to winning 10 or 11. It's just those plays didn't go their way.
We haven't talked to you since last Saturday night in Columbia.
Yep.
When everybody is still in shock. We'll talk about the games tomorrow. But Tennessee now without – Hendon Hooker, I think you saw Milton in his first game.
Yep.
2 years ago, and what is going on in that program today?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're doing the Vandy Tennessee game as well. The more I dive into Joe Milton, I mean, he's just a freak of an athlete. I mean, there's not a dude that's more physically gifted in the country, I don't believe, than he is. The issue is that last year his deep ball was all over the place. It was like me teeing up a ball in a par five, trying to hit it as far as I can, and one time it goes straight, and most of the time it's you don't know where it's going. This year he's one of the best deep ball throwers in the entire country. He's completing 90% of his throws, 25-plus downfield, 100 QBR. Last year that was 20% and a 4 QBR. So that's not going to be an issue. The issue for Tennessee, because Vandy's going to come to play, the issue is that Hendon was so good from 5 yards to 20 yards. And why that's important, everybody looks at Tennessee and like, man, the explosive plays, that's what does it. No. It's the 5 yards, it's the 10 yards that allows them to stay on tempo. It's those completions, the RPOs, that allow them to set up the big plays. Milton's accuracy from 5 to 20 is not great. That's where I think if you're watching this game as a fan, watch those throws, the RPOs that he pulls, the accuracy to the slant routes, the in-breaking routes. If he can complete those, that sets up the tempo, that sets up the shot plays, and they're going to be fine. If he struggles there, Vandy's going to come to play. Vandy's got a lot to play for in this game. They have a lot of confidence, so he's talented enough to take this team and have them not miss a beat, as surprising as that is to say, because Hendon was that good. But also, there's a few question marks that I think we're still understanding where his development is.
Vandy has been better all year long, but a lot of people just woke up to it. What are they doing?
Defensively, when you flip on, and we were talking to Clark Lee about it this week, and their defensive coordinator, Nick Howell, as well, there's a speed and an urgency to which they swarm the football. And it's not a sexy thing to talk about. And every coach says, man, I want my team to run after and make tackles. And most of the time, it's kind of coach speak. When you flip on the film, this team plays hard. And I think on offense, A.J. Swan was developing that pass game. And then Mike Wright obviously made big plays when he needed to. But to me, it's the effort and it's the energy on defense that I think has really opened up these wins from against Kentucky and Florida. The defense came to play. So they're going to be tested, because in order to stop Tennessee, the teams that have stopped or slowed down their offense, they've been physical on the outside in press coverage. That's not Vandy. Vandy is not going to do that. They're going to play zone coverage. They want to keep everything in front of them. We'll see how much they can do that. But I think it starts with the leadership of Clark Lee, but the energy and enthusiasm they're playing with on defense. I know that's not cool to point out, but that's what it is when you flip on the tape.
With Jordan Rodgers, let's get to Tuscaloosa, where we are right now, and talk about the Iron Bowl. And let's start with Alabama, because
there we go. We got one. Oh, there we go. Okay, there we go. We're still here.
There's still a lot of Alabama fans. Obviously, this is going to be it for Bryce Young tomorrow. What do we expect from this Crimson Tide team that has underachieved and they're still – within striking distance.
Underachieved, still within striking distance. If chaos happens, there's still an outside playoff chance. I mean, there's still a lot ahead of this team. And I think if you really just dive into it, I mean, they're 2 or 3 plays away from being undefeated still. So I know it hasn't been dominating like we're used to seeing out of Alabama. And I will say, the more I watch Bryce, I still don't think his shoulder is 100% healthy. When I watch a guy and how he throws the football, the mechanics, which balls are dying on him a little bit more in the last few weeks as opposed to early in the season. Not that that is attributed to a ton of their lack of production or some of the close games or close losses, because I think he's played at an extremely high level. I think it was the receivers and the young talent that we saw early on that we thought would develop quicker really didn't. Jermaine Burton's impact was not what we thought it would be. So I think there was a lot of promise about the pieces around Bryce going into this season. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, was as advertised. Everybody else, I don't think so. And that just happens sometimes. This is a transfer portal era where you bring somebody in thinking this is what's going to happen, this is who I'm going to get, and you don't know all the time, and that's okay. I just think some of the development didn't happen as quickly. It's going to. There's a bright future with the talent they have. Didn't happen as quickly as possible to capitalize on the short window that they still have with Bryce Young, but I still think there's a lot to play for, and I think Bryce Young has been playing at an extremely high level for the entire year, so I don't put it on his shoulders. I think if he's not as good as he is, they have 4 or 5 losses. Mm.
Auburn does have that many losses. What do they have to do tomorrow?
It's an interesting one because, like, when you look at this team, like, there's ways you could – well, it's 4 fighter jets flying by. Anyways, there's ways – that's loud.
Wow.
There are ways that I see that Auburn can make it interesting. Defensively, Derek Hall, Colby Wooden are playing at a high level. And when you talk to coaches that have played Alabama, there are certain tendencies they have in protection and ways that you can attack them. Ole Miss exploited that a little bit, attacking and blitzing the running back because of the way they slide and dictate protection. But here's the thing. They're going to run the football. They have to be able to hit the chunk plays, and they haven't been able to. And what's interesting is the better they've ran the football the last 3 weeks, the worse they've been at those shot plays because they've been more under center. I want more shotgun for Robbie Ashford. I want things in front of him. If they do that, they'll make it interesting. But I just don't think they can go blow for blow and keep pace with Bryce. So we'll see. There's my, hey, it might get interesting early, and it might not be at the end.
Jordan Rogers joining us here in Tuscaloosa, where the fans would like that scenario quite well.
We are heading
to a break. Taylor Hicks joining us in a couple of minutes, the legendary former American Idol winner. We got Roman Harper coming up next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back live in Tuscaloosa as we are an hour and a half into the program on a really nice late November day, Iron Bowl weekend. Taylor Hicks will join us in just a few minutes. Right now, Roman Harper, he's never won American Idol, but he's always got a lot of ideas.
Thank you, Paul.
What's going on?
I do not have the voice for American Idol. Probably America's Best Now, Top Dancer. What is that one?
You can do that.
1,000%.
So what are you watching for this weekend?
Of course, the Iron Bowl. Very excited about that one. And then outside of this footprint, Ohio State versus Michigan, I'm really looking forward to that one, just knowing that. And I know you don't want to hear this, but Jim Harbaugh and how he tries to push the needle on something to try and get his team over the edge, over the hump, over Ohio State, where they've not been able to win at in the horseshoe, and understanding that Michigan has a chance in this game. Ohio State's not unbeatable. They have struggled versus worst teams this year, and if they make enough plays defensively, they can win a game. And understand that Jim Harbaugh, in the big games, he loves to be trick plays. He loves to show how smart he is in these situations, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking for a double pass, a reverse, something like a double reverse. They're going to do something to try and get them games, the momentum early.
Let's talk about the Iron Bowl here for a second, and I think we're about to show the audience something here that
oh no.
This is a –
okay.
Tell us what's going on here.
Well, I was a middle field safety, I guess. My boy Anthony Madison makes a great play and then allowed me to get the interception.
Does that count as an interception when somebody else did all the work?
Yes, it does. When I catch it, yes, it does, at least in my stat book. That was my first career interception too. So, for me, it was a really big deal. And the funniest part about it – thank you. Thank you. You hear the Alabama fans.
I guess.
Look at that, getting underneath it right there, Paul.
Your teammate, I would have thrown the yellow flag. That looks like pass interference.
You know, that was what, that's when.
Okay, let me ask you the most important question. That was a great interception.
Thank you, Paul.
Who won the game?
Auburn did. It's quite obviously that Paul knew that coming into it. Paul knows that I did not beat Auburn, and we've talked about this all week long.
It is remarkable that you are the first former Alabama football player that has ever gone anywhere in the industry and have never beaten
your biggest
rival. I mean, there are not many people that can say, I never beat Auburn as an Alabama football player.
It was only doing this one little streak, and I was there for all of it.
I think it was at least 6 years.
It was 5 or 6 years. Yeah. It just didn't happen, and I was definitely part of that streak.
Because of that streak,
we got
there's a man that won a United States Senate seat.
That is true. Everybody voted for him, including Alabama fans, too. That's the best part
about
it.
I hear that. He beat Alabama.
He's got to do something, right? So I love this state for that reason. I love the house is divided.
That's the Auburn jet coming back from Lane Kiffin's house.
The whole jet. Whole bunch of money in that bag, too. That's what I love so much about this rivalry in this state is that it's really houses divided. And you grow up and you pick who you're going to pick and you stick with them. And you don't get to go back and forth. Once you're an Auburn fan, you're an Auburn fan for life. And once you're an Alabama fan, you're an Alabama fan for life. And being from Prattville.
You grew up in Auburn territory.
Yeah, I grew up in much more Auburn territory than being over here on the other side around Birmingham or something else. So being from Prattville, it is way closer to Auburn. And I have so many friends, including last night over Thanksgiving, that just were ready for this game and understanding that they believe Auburn has a chance. That this is when Auburn does the Auburn magic. That when nobody's counting them, and everybody's saying they're going to lose, this is exactly where Auburn wants Alabama to be at, because they're thinking that Alabama's just going to overlook them, and you can't do that. I've seen this game played and lost many times by Alabama.
Before you go, Alabama, you know, very well could win its 10th game tomorrow, finish 10-2, and hope for whatever happens after that. But how do you describe this season for the Crimson Tide?
Well, I would say disappointing. My first statement initially on this season was if Alabama did not win a championship this year, it was going to be a disappointment. Understanding that you had Bryce Young, Will Anderson, so many great names and superstars on this team, including Jahmyr Gibbs, who really burst on the scene this year. And so you have that. So that's the first initial thought. But this team, when I watch them, it's full of the two things that come to mind are potential and undisciplined. And those are two of the worst compliments you can get in sports, is because with your potential, that means you haven't done anything yet. You haven't reached where we envision you being. And then with undisciplined, that means you're not doing all the things consistently enough to win the game. Penalties, not forcing turnovers on defense, being inadequate at times offensively, sputtering, and special teams, they've really struggled. They've had way too many turnovers for guys touching the ball. They're just bad stuff that just normally does not traditionally happen for Alabama. So those are the two things that comes to mind for this. And look, you'll never reach your full potential when you're undisciplined. And those are the biggest thing that Alabama's had to struggle with all year long.
And when the page turns tomorrow and Alabama is sitting home next week, there'll be a lot of chatter about the bowl game. And bowl games are important to a lot of young players. But if you're one of the older players on this Alabama team, you know you're going high. What's the decision come down to?
It's really going to be a personal decision. That's one thing that you've looked at Alabama in the past when they have not gone to the playoffs, is that their guys have played. They have played in the past. Now, I don't know if they'll have this high of a quarterback draft that we're concerned with that may go out there and play. It'll be very interesting. I'm not going to sit up here and try and make that decision for those players, but understanding that, you know, you play your whole career, you never get hurt. And all of a sudden now, am I playing it to not get hurt? Right. When that has never been your mindset. All you've ever done has been a young man playing this game that you love your whole time, your whole life. And it has opened up all these doors and opportunities for you. So at what point do you start to pull it back? Now, that is a decision that them, their agents, their parents will have to make. And it's going to be a tough one, because I'm looking at it right now. I can name you two or three that I'm, what are you going to do? And it's going to be really, really, really.
I can tell you one or two that are definitely not playing.
And I don't blame them. I would not be mad at those guys at all. You have bigger things to do and worry about in your life. And all the money that you made in NIL will dwarf compared to the money you make on Sundays. That is what that was your main goal anyway. You came to the University of Alabama to play on Sundays, period. You'll get an education on the way. But you came here to do that, and it's right there in front of you. So why would you not do everything that you can to reach your goal in the beginning?
Roman Harper, we'll see more of him tomorrow morning on SEC Nation. When we come back, we're live in Tuscaloosa. This is something we look forward to every time we're here.
Paul, you're back.
An appearance from Taylor Hicks.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, we got an update from Missouri. Tigers clinging to a 17-14 lead over Arkansas, and they are driving right now as the second half is underway. Second quarter is underway. Ashley Woods and Blake Byler will join us from the C&W. Ashley used to be there. Laura, Marty, that is the third hour of our show. But right now, something that we always look forward to. You see it in the intro. Not only do you see it, you hear it in the intro. Taylor Hicks has returned here, the American Idol winner who grew up in Birmingham down the road and was an overwhelming hit. And now, Taylor, I mean, you've had a great recording career. You Idol was seen by a zillion people, but everywhere I go, people talk about...
Call Paul. Foxworthy said it was the best thing that I'd ever written.
When he said that about a year ago in Atlanta, I about fell over off my stool.
Well, I was just telling you, the Bill Walton compliment was my favorite, you know, especially when he said something about it being it sounded like the Grateful Dead a little bit. That was the compliment of all compliments.
We had Bill on about 2 years ago, and he was like, hey, hold on a second. I mean, I'm doing this. Bill Walton. He said, hold on. That was Taylor Hicks. And then
Bill Walton
probably saw the dead a couple of hundred times.
He's still maybe. Seeing them.
Yeah, they're dead, but he's still seeing them. And he's enjoying them more than when he played ball.
That's true.
So what's going on in your life?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing a show in Birmingham, Alabama, December 9th at the Lyric Theater. I'm doing a Van Morrison show. I always do it. I've done some shows, but I've partnered up with Marines Toys for Tots this year. I do it every year, and I always like to come on. It's a really special time of year, especially for the Marines, because I get to go to some of the bases. We pick up toys. And to be able to partner with them and do a few shows, especially the one in Birmingham, first and foremost, that's something that's near and dear to my heart, and I appreciate you letting me on talking about it. But the Marines Toys for Tots is a reputable organization that's been around for a long time, and obviously the Marines are tied to it. It's a special time of year to not only give to Marines Toys for Tots, but to give in general.
And I know you've been working on a record.
For 10 years.
Yeah. I remember having dinner with you right before I left town, and I was pushing you. I said, not that I know anything about music. I said, you'd be a great country artist. So you did end up going to Nashville.
Yeah, and have lived in Nashville for a long time, and ended up doing a record at Zach Brown's place at Southern Ground. And it's a soulful Southern record. I like to say if Jackson Brown and Chris Stapleton and Zach Brown had a baby, it'd be me. It's a wonderful Southern soul record. That's who I am, and I'm looking forward to releasing music this spring. But, you know, the business, you have to find the right partner. You, these days, it's kind of tough throwing something against the wall and hoping it'll stick. You need as much glue as you possibly can. So that's going to be a fun part because I haven't done it in a while.
Taylor, you've had just such an amazing life, and I know, you know, for people that go back to the mid 2000s when you won Idol, I mean, it was one of the largest audiences in television history. The next thing you know, you got a record, you got a hit, you're on every show in the world. I mean, it It's been a while, but it's still not that long ago. I mean, your life must have been surreal back then, because you weren't like an. I mean, it took you a long time to get there.
Well, I'm coming up on about 15 years in show business. I'm obviously a 10-year overnight success story, traveling to a lot of these haunts around the Southeast that I love. But, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do. I felt like it was a calling. Kind of like you or my favorite, one of my favorite weathermen, James Spann, here in Alabama. I'm very blessed to be able to sing and perform and entertain. And, you know, in this business, you never say no. And I got a call to do Broadway in New York, four or five different roles. And they asked me if I knew how to act. And I said, sure. Never took an acting gig in my life. But, you know, that's just kind of, I've always wanted to be an entertainer, and hopefully I can have another 15 or 20 years in the business.
Yeah, you did Broadway for a long time. Then I remember about 10 years ago seeing you in Vegas.
Yeah, I had a show in Vegas a couple of years.
That was cool to, like, bump the guy. Now I know him.
4 months turned into 2 years. That was a wonderful opportunity to be a part of the fabric and the landscape. The historical entertainment landscape of Las Vegas, and the hits keep on coming. So I'm phone's ringing, I'm answering it.
The thing that I've always admired about you the most is that to win American Idol, you need the public to help you. So your strongest area was in Alabama. So you went to Auburn, what, a week, 2 weeks? How long were you at Auburn?
I was at Auburn about 3.5-4 years.
Oh, okay. Maybe Jimmy Buffett was there a week.
That was Jimmy.
I think Jimmy was there.
Jimmy was there for 3 days.
He was.
Jimmy was there for 3 days.
I said, didn't you go to Auburn? So I was there for a week. I couldn't remember. So you're at Auburn. You went to Auburn a couple of years. And then you convinced the public that you're an Alabama fan as well. You got Auburn and Alabama fans.
I'll never give up the ghost, but I can tell you this. You know, I always like to say the night that I won American Idol was the only night that Alabama and Auburn fans ever agreed on anything. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm not giving up the ghost just yet.
And I've been to Alabama games with you, and I've seen you cheer for Alabama. But I'm not suggesting that you're not an Auburn fan.
When you answer that question, I'll answer it. And you haven't answered it yet, have you, Paul?
Oh, I can't afford to answer it because it's not a question that anybody wants to answer if they don't have to.
No.
And neither one of us had to.
No. We're not going to either.
No. But you've done it well. And I've always – I see our friend David Upton over there.
The Crane Works helped us – helped me get down here and avoid all the traffic.
That guy does not hide his – David Upton does not hide who he's loyal to.
No, he does not.
Is your brother an Auburn guy, or somebody in your family's Auburn, aren't they? Okay. David makes sure he's got Auburn fans by Cranes too.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about this record. Give us some sense of what it's going to be about.
Well, I've got a couple of really great artists on it. Robert Randolph,
Robert.
Yeah, Robert's
the SEC Nation.
Yeah, Robert. Robert's on the record. He's kind of my David Lindley of the record. The record sounds a lot like an old Jackson Browne record. For Every Man was one of my favorite records, but
one of my all-time.
Yeah, it's in. And Robert. It's funny. I wanted to bring Robert down here. I was going to try to get him down here this weekend for the SEC Nation, and hopefully we'll get him down here to actually come down here. I think he played.
We had him in, I think it was in Georgia 1 year at the SEC. But so the question I have for you though is, and I get it asked every time I go somewhere, when's Taylor Hicks going to do update the SEC song when the Feinbaum song when Texas and Oklahoma come in?
Well, I mean, whenever ESPN gives me a ring and gets the checkbook out, we'll do it. You know, I mean, but you know what's interesting is I'd like to know some of your viewers. You know, I wouldn't look. I know it comes on four times a day, but I think what would be interesting is for your callers and viewers to actually help me write what they're going to say.
Here's what we're going to
about do. Oklahoma and
when,
Texas.
When we get through the next few weeks, we're going to lean on David Upton to get you up to our studio.
Yeah.
And that way we'll have time. We'll clear the decks. and let the audience help participate.
Absolutely. I think that's a great
idea. David? And then let's see how smart – everybody thinks they're smart. Everybody thinks they can call plays better than the head coaches. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks they can do whatever. Can you write a
real song? I think you got a pretty smart fan base, Paul.
We got a lot of art. That would be funny. I've run into various artists, as I know you have, who claim to watch the show. That would be funny, but I'm Kenny from Nashville. I got a couple of lines.
I wonder what Tammy would think. I wonder what Tammy would say. I miss old Tammy.
Yeah, she's been gone 4 years and 2 weeks, and we all miss her. So before you go, I would like to hear a little music.
Call Paul. Roll Tide.
The great Taylor Hicks joining us here. Taylor, I can't thank you enough. It's always great to see you.
Thanks,
and
Paul.
It's such a pleasure to have known you all these years, to have known you before. And you look a lot thinner, by the way.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I've been working. It's not an easy task, especially when you're in the South and it's Thanksgiving. It's the holidays.
That is not the time to try to drop a couple of pounds. Right back. Second 2 hours of the show. Taylor Hicks.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.